It's said that a little Swiss watch had been made with the smallest of parts and with the greatest of skill, yet it was dissatisfied with its restricted sphere of influence, which was on a lady's wrist. It envied the position of the great tower clock on the city hall. One day, as it passed by city hall on its owner's wrist, the tiny watch exclaimed, "I wish I could be way up there. I could serve many instead of serving just one." The little watch was granted its wish. The next day, a slender thread was let down and attached to the watch, and it was pulled and lifted up to the tower. Rising higher and higher, the little watch began to realize that it was such a great distance, there was going to be a problem with this whole arrangement. It was completely lost to view when it finally reached the top. So the little watch realized that when it got its wish, when it was elevated to the position that it wanted to be, it was not capable of serving in that capacity. Perhaps the primary lesson of that is that sometimes we are not ready for what we think we're ready for. We're not ready for what we desire, but a broader lesson is the fact that learning to be content is of great value. The Apostle Paul said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. The word contentment means sufficient in oneself, self-sufficient, needing no assistance. To put it another way, one's satisfaction is not dependent upon. Contentment is not dependent upon external circumstances, external conditions, and situations. Yet those who are not content seem to always blame their lack of contentment on those very things. People want to blame their contentment on their lack of children. If only I had children. Or they blame their lack of contentment on their children. If only I didn't have any children. They blame their lack of contentment on their spouse, if only I were married, or their lack of a spouse, if only I wasn't married. The other way around, blame it on their job, I wish I had didn't have to work, or their lack of job, I wish I had a job. Blame it on their house, on their car, on their friends, on their lack of friends. But contentment is not found in things. Contentment is not found in people. Contentment is not found in situations or conditions. We've got to be careful that we don't fall into the trap of thinking that any of these is responsible for our discontentment. No one and no thing is responsible for my contentment but me. No one or no thing is responsible for my contentment or my discontentment but me. And the same goes for you. Anyone who is not content now, let me say that again. Anyone who is not content now because of his job, his house, his car, his situation, will never be content anytime or anywhere, because contentment comes from within. It comes from within. If you want to be content, you don't need to change your job, you don't need to change your car, you don't need to change your house, you don't need to change your spouse, you don't need to change your children. You need to change yourself. Contentment does not come from having the new sofa, the new skis, the new golf clubs, the new boat, the new carpet, the new pet, the computer, the iPhone, the job promotion. Someone has said contentment depends little on position, but a lot on disposition. Contentment is an as is an internal condition. Paul said in Romans 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said in Ephesians 4, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It is not what you have. It's not where you are. It's not how people treat you. It's not what people say to you or what they say about you. It is what you are that determines whether or not you are content. This doesn't mean that it's wrong to try to improve your situation in life. But the person who thinks, I'll be satisfied when I get that one more thing, that's the person who never will be satisfied. Because there will always be one more thing that they want. There will always be one more thing that they've just got to have. And then they'll be content. They'll be satisfied. If you knew you had to stay where you are with what you've got for the rest of your life, could you be content? If you knew that things were never going to get any better, could you be content? If you knew that things were only going to get worse, and I submit to you that if you live long enough, that's exactly what's going to happen, at least physically. If you knew that you were only going to get worse, could you be content? If you could not stay where you are without constantly fussing, pouting, murmuring, complaining, griping, you need to think about what the Bible says about contentment. Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 9, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. This is why sin never satisfies. Sin never satisfies because it deals with pleasing and fulfilling only the external. Peace and satisfaction, contentment, come only when one is filled internally. Philip Parham tells the story of a wealthy businessman who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his huge boat when he came down to the lake. He said, why aren't you out there fishing? The fisherman said, because I've caught enough fish for the day. Rich man said, why don't you catch more fish than you need? The man said, well, what would I do with them? The rich man said, well, you could earn more money. You could buy a better boat so you could go out deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets, catch even more fish, make even more money. Soon you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich like me. Fisherman said, then what would I do? Rich man said, well, then you could sit down and enjoy life. Fisherman calmly looked out on the water and he said, what do you think I'm doing right now? Paul shines some light on contentment in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, talking about his thorn in the flesh. He said, concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. The Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. It's enough for you. For my strength, he says, is made perfect in weakness. Sufficient is the same word that's translated content in the other passage. Contentment is not found by getting all our wishes. contentment must already exist, or getting our wishes won't matter anyway. Stories told of a king who was suffering from a malady. He was advised by his astrologist that he would be cured if he could find the shirt of a contented man and wear that shirt. So people went out to all parts of the kingdom and searched for such a person, and finally, after a long search, they found the only man they came across that really seemed to be contented, that really seemed to be satisfied. But he didn't own a shirt. Did everybody get that? I'm sorry. Okay. Bible is full of examples of sin. Sins which were committed because of discontent. Eve's sin was due to the fact that she was not content with the trees that God had given. Cain's sin, he couldn't be satisfied because of someone else. If I just get rid of him, maybe I'll be satisfied. You recall King Saul had the same kind of thinking regarding David. Maybe if I just get rid of David, I'll be fine. Achan's sin, he couldn't be satisfied with what he had. He wanted more. Saul's sin with Amalek, he valued the spoils of war more than the blessings of God. Ahab just had to have Naboth's vineyard. And how did that work out for him? Contentment is contrasted with covetousness in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. How can we attain contentment? Hebrews 13, verse 5 again says, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things that you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Faith and trust in God. The writer bases one's ability to be content in this passage on the faithfulness and the trustworthiness of God's promises. If we have faith in God and His promises, if we put our trust in God and His promises, the writer indicates contentment can be ours. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, that we're to seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above, he says, not on things on the earth. Contentment is not found, and it will not be found, without having proper priorities, without knowing that things, situations, people, places don't provide contentment or don't provide discontentment because of the lack of those things. Paul said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. In order to know contentment, we must follow God's word, God's teaching. We need to study God's word. We need to learn God's word, not just to know answers, but to change our lives. Knowing the right answers is of little value without practicing them. Blessing is never promised to those who hear the word of God without doing it. The word blessed carries a very similar meaning to the word contentment. James uses it in James chapter 1, verse 25 in this context. Says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Amy Bernstein, U.S. News and World Report, back in July 27 of 1992. Go back a little bit there. 1992. this article, in an article in U.S. News World Report, she said, after World War II, Americans always cherished the expectation that their standard of living would improve with each generation. In polls at the onset of the Reagan era, 2 out of every 3 respondents said they expected to be better off than their parents. Now that figure is being reversed. Almost three-fourths of the 1,000 people who answered a Roper poll for Shearson Lehman Brothers said the American dream is harder to attain than it was a generation ago. And 60% say achieving the dream requires more financial risk than it did for their parents. But here's the interesting part. For Americans with household incomes under $25,000, they said it would take an average of $54,000 a year to fulfill the American dream. For those who make $100,000 a year, they said that it would take an average of $192,000 a year to bring satisfaction. She concludes by saying, in other words, the American dream pretty much always lies nearly twice the distance away from where you are. And that's why people aren't content. It's easy to see why one can be a Christian and still not be content. Contentment does not come from a single choice, a single decision, or a single act made or performed by someone months or years ago. It should have begun there. But contentment comes from a life of dwelling on, trusting in, and practicing the teachings of God. Contentment is found only in the Lord. Let's stand together and sing.